Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's 8:20 past 8, 22 past 8 here in California. Yeah, for California. And we're sitting around the breakfast table thinking about each one of you. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. What sort of thoughts do you have that begin your day? I had a fascinating series of thoughts that began my day. Nothing I had worked, and I couldn't figure out why. And I went from one thing to another, checking it out and tapping it, and not banging it, you know, it's a temptation to bang it, but just tapping it and jogging it and moving things around, and nothing worked. And I thought, well, maybe the batteries are gone. So I took a new package of batteries and put them into my keyboard, and it didn't work. What's the matter now here? You know, even the light didn't go on, nothing didn't go on. And so I took the batteries out and I checked them, and they were all dead. They were batteries that I had taken down to Nigeria and had in Nigeria in the humidity and in the heat that these Midwestern batteries just weren't used to. They weren't accustomed to that. And so the batteries just weren't good. And so every time I took out another set of batteries that had gone with me to Nigeria, I put them in it. First I tested them now, and they're dead and dead and dead. I had eight sets of four each beautiful, high quality AAA batteries that I use in my equipment, and they were all dead. So I had some old batteries lying around that were sort of a mix, and they were batteries that hadn't gone with me. They were in my drawer before I left, and they're there now. So I put them in. I checked them first, and they're all alive. And then I put them in, and they worked perfect. And all of a sudden, everything came to life. Meanwhile, I had turned off my computer and turned on my computer. And I had done all the little gadget things you're supposed to do to find out what your problems are. And it was just because I didn't have any energy. And it wasn't physical energy on my part, because I had plenty of that. But it was energy on my battery's part. I took my battery checker, and I went through my drawer, and I checked every battery that was in there. And there were about six batteries in there that were dead. And I thought, why am I keeping batteries that are dead? And so out they went. And I have to do that now and then. I have to check to see. And I had a telephone call last night and one this morning. And the telephone rang. And in 2 seconds that it took me to get up and answer it, it stopped ringing. Because my answering thing came on. And came on the third ring, ding, 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 and boom, and there it was. So now I wanted to change that. So I looked at the telephone, and I haven't figured out how to change it. I'm sure there's some way, but there's no instructions there. But I do have an instruction book. So I'll go in my instruction book, and it's just like yours and yours. Hi. And I'll go in the instruction book and figure out how to give it six rings. Hmm. Because six rings would be good enough. That'd give me time to get up and get over there and get it and do it, because I don't have the telephone right on top of my desk. So energy is something that we all sort of take for granted. We take it for granted. This morning I had, well, last night before I went to bed, before I even started working last night, I said to myself, I am going to walk the path a number of times this morning before I go to breakfast. And I was all set to walk the path a number of times before I went to breakfast. Well, last night, after I made my commitment, I sat down at the computer and everything worked fine. I was just pumping away, getting all the stuff onto the internet and doing just beautiful and everything. Everything was click, 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 click. You know, it came up. Everything was just ideal. And then all of a sudden, it started having trouble. Little did I know, it was the batteries. But I thought it was everything else. And, of course, I checked everything else. Finally, I accidentally pressed a button and it says, we're going to save everything on your computer to your hard drive so that, it's all in good shape. I thought, well, about time, I guess. So I went to bed. And the light was on the computer and it was saving and saving and saving. But it saved through the night. because it saved 258 gigabytes. And I didn't know I had 258 gigabytes to be saved. My thing is 500 gigabytes. But anyhow, it just had a lot of fun. And this morning when I woke up, it said, all done, and everything is all set. So I went about my business again, still not knowing that my batteries were not functioning. I always left a little laptop top, and I can reach under there, and I can use the mouse under there, and I can use other things under there, and so, you know, go directly to the source, and that's always good. But when you're trying to use remotes, if your batteries don't work, your remotes don't work. So this is true of all of us in every area of our life. We think that we are just so honky-donky-doo. We think we're just so the cat's meow. And we think that whatever we say is just wonderful and good. Well, it could be if we keep our batteries charged. If we don't keep our batteries charged, all of our remote activity to the divine in us is lost. Now, why do I say remote activity to the divine within us? Because we have not made a connection which was done, you know, boing, tight, right together. Anything I do on my portable computer, working on its program, works great. If I go on a remote device, it may or may not work good, depending upon the battery power. Okay. Why is it I have separated myself from my divine self, and I need to go on remote to get there? Why do I have to go on remote to find my way to my white stem cells, to my wise stem cell? Why is it that I have to go on remote? Why do I have to go on remote when I'm looking to have a conversation with God? Hey, God, you listening? Hey, you know, like something outside of me. What a bunch of misunderstanding. Now, why do we do that? It's not just me. I mean, I'm really in this whole hog. I'm in this 100%, and everybody else is in pretty good too, but I think nothing else but my divinity. So why do I have this situation? Well, I have this situation for one reason. I have this situation because I listen to the world around me. I listen to other people and their circumstances and their problems and their desires. When people call here for a practitioner, or they call for treatment, they say, oh, I got this. Hush, hush, hush. What do you want? Okay, it's done. But it's not that simple. It's not that simple. Well, yes, it is that simple. It's just a simple changing your thought from it's not done to it's done. So I tell them, look and see. It's done. I spoke my word. You spoke your word. It's done. And they look, and sure enough, it's done. Now you say, oh, Herb, treat for me. You know, I got lots of problems. Treat for me. Go jump in a lake. Each one of us is supposed to learn the program. I am not here to be a practitioner and heal people. That's the farthest thing from my mind, farthest thing from my enjoyment. I am here only to show you the way so you can do it. Because can you imagine yourself on the South Pacific Island, you know, eating coconuts and lying in the sun there, and then having a toe ache and saying, oh, Herb, come and touch my toe, you know? And I say, you think I'm going to come from my warm bed here in California out to that desert island where you haven't even got fresh water or anything else, and you want me to come out there and touch your toe? You must be kidding, you know. I'll teach you how, but I'm not going to go around doing it. And that's why Jesus didn't do it. When Jesus walked down the roads of Galilee, he was surrounded by people who had problems, but he didn't pay attention to it. It's only when they came to him and said they had a need, and then he said, it's done unto you according to your belief. Now get the hell out of here. I'm having a walk, you know. And I'm minding my own business now. You know, don't bug me. And they kept bugging him, remember? And he says, I got to go so the Comforter can come because you guys aren't letting me alone. Well, now, is that the kind of practitioner you want to be? I don't mean like Jesus, but I mean, you want to be the kind of practitioner that has people coming to you all the time, and people coming and coming and coming and coming and not listening? If you lay on of hands as a practitioner, you're dead. You're going to always have to lay on of hands. Kuhlman, Catherine Kuhlman, great lady, super wonderful lady, but she always laid on of hands. And so here she is, the Shrine Auditorium filled with 5,000 people, and maybe 2,000 got up, a lot of them did, and came up to her, and she had to say, "You're healed in the name of Jesus, you're healed," and she had to touch him. Now, she could have done, now, speak your word and say, "I am healed in the name of Jesus," if that's the term she wants to use. Okay, then it could be done. But no, she had to do it. And so she had to appear in large auditoriums, in large groups, in large stages, because the people had to come up and be touched by her. And she was a great lady, and I'm not belittling her in the slightest. But now if she was being paid $5,000 a head, you know, that might be okay. She did earn a lot of money, because people left a lot of offerings and paid a lot to get in. But that's not the name of the game. The name of the game is I'm here to be myself and have fun. And being myself and have fun is not playing doctor. Doctor is touching. Doctor is pilling. Doctor is doing all the things, which is okay too. That's just another role of healing. But what role of healing do I want, do you want? The role of healing I want and the role of healing you want, at least I think so, is where you speak your word and it is done. Speak your word and it's done. Centurion said to Jesus, "You know, man, you tell me what to do and I'll say it. My employee will do what I say because I am a soldier and I am a military man and I'm used to giving orders, you know, and I'm used to having him followed." And Jesus was very delighted. He said, "Wow, you know, I can learn something from you." Not really, but it's a nice story, and it's a nice truism, and it's what we want to do. Now, we get calls, and we transfer these calls, and we say, "Oh, treat with me about my son, about my daughter, about my dog, and about my cat, and about my family, about this and that." And I say to them, "What should I treat? What should I treat? That they're better or worse, or that they're whole or sick, or that they're whatever? I can only see them perfect like I see myself. And is that okay with you?" "Oh, that's just fine. You'll see them perfect." "Well, what does that mean to you? Does that mean you're going to go and ask somebody else for treatment, 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 treatment up and down the block, you know? You're going to go to Aunt Bessie's and Uncle Paul's, and you're going to go to Grandpa and Grandma's, you're going to go to Mom and Daddy's, and you go to sisters and brothers, and you go to churches all over the places and ask for treatment? You don't believe. And you don't deserve it. You don't deserve it. Because you're not taking the wisdom that you have within you, which says, 'I am whole and perfect,' and then following it and living it. If you're going to chase all over the world looking for wholeness and healing, and you can't find it within yourself, you're never going to find it, because you're looking in the wrong place. Healing, wholeness, perfection, right action, truth are within me and within you. I can't put them there. You can't put them there, and you can't take them away. You just have to go into your shoe store inside there and say, 'Okay, clerk, I want a pair of size 8, 8 and a half, 8 shoes, 13, 14 shoes, size 42 shoes. I want size whatever I want.' And the clerk will say, 'Oh, very good. Now, what models would you like?' 'Oh, I don't really care about the model. I just want a shoe that fits.' Well, we have all sorts of models. I don't know what kind of model to give you. But I just want a pair that fits. Well, now, you want a model to go out and play with? You want a model to go romping with and tennis and basketball? You want a model to go hill climbing with? You want a model to go swimming with on the beach to keep your feet covered and so on? What do you want?" "Look, clerk, I want a pair of shoes." That's what we say to God. "You know, I want a pair of shoes." And God says, "Take your pick." And you see, there is where the rub comes in. We haven't made up our mind what it is we want. We haven't made up our mind whether we want to be whole and perfect, or whether we want to be a little bit perfect, or a little bit whole, or a little less sick, or a little less bothered by our problems. And until we make up our mind, the clerk in the store inside of us cannot give us shoes that are going to be adequate for us. So then you say, "All right, clerk, I tell you what, I'm sort of new at this sort of thing, so if you would go away, put in front of me all the size 8 shoes, because that's my size, and wide, narrow, all sorts of things. Just put them in front of me, and you go away, and I'll try them on. So I sit there, and I try them on, and I try them on, and then one feels just so good. But it's a dress shoe, and I want to go play with it. And another one feels terrible, but it's a play shoe, and it, you know, it's the type of thing I really should have. And I look at all these shoes, and finally I decide on the shoes that I want. But I have to settle down, make up my mind, because there's so many to choose from. And many of them, you say, have my name on it. None of them have my name on it. They're all, anything in the universe belongs to me. All I have to do is choose it and enjoy it. So, what are you going to do today? What size shoe are you putting on today? Are there shoes that fit comfortably? Like Rochelle said, I like those kind of shoes, but they have to be narrow because my foot is very narrow. And great, then she'll look in a narrow shoe store, a narrow-footed ladies' shoe store. And if you have wide feet, then you go in a wide-footed men's shoe store or ladies' shoe store, whatever you want. And what kind of store are you going into? Are you going into the wrong store? They're all lined up on the block there, and you have to go choose. So you go inside and you say, God, what do you recommend? And God says, come on, get off it. I don't recommend anything. I tell you, here is perfection, and if you want it, this is what you do to get it. You keep your mind one-pointed on what it is you want. You want to go from here to Oregon? You keep your mind one-pointed on the road. What road will take me to Oregon? Well, 5 will probably take it right straight up there. Right straight up there.
Uh-huh.
And as you get there, then what do you got? You're in Oregon. Now what are you going to do? You see, we can only know the routes that get us where we want to go. And that's what treatment is. Treatment is a route to get us where we want to go. But we have to decide what we're going to do when we get there. Are we going to be just the same being that we are before we got there? Or are we going to be a fulfilled being? We have our neighbors who are delightful people, and they're moving up to Washington or Oregon someplace, and they're California people. And they had been raised in the North, and they're not unfamiliar with it, but they've been in California all their life, all their happy young life. And now in their older life, they're going to go up there in the colder weather, the wet weather, which is not salubrious for people who are from Southern California. And they'll be home soon again, you can be sure of that, because they're going out of their element. Now, what is the element? Why did you stay here in California so long and then go somewhere else? I want to retire to a log cabin in the mountains, and that's what I really want, is a log cabin. Hey, great. Why don't you go there right now? Go and find that type of territory, that type of country, that type of life. Go there and do it right now. But the reason you don't do it is because you don't like yourself. You don't think you're worthy of having your dream. And you never will. Until you think you're worthy of having your dream, you never will. And even if you get your dream, you won't even know you have it, because you've been blind to it all the time. Because your dream has been real in you all along. Now, how do we work with people on healing, and how do we work with people as practitioners? We say, what do you want? What wouldst thou of me? What do you want? And then they say, well, I got a broken leg. Okay, you got 2 of them now. No. I want to be whole and perfect. Okay, then see yourself whole and perfect. But my illusion. Okay, let's take your illusion and throw it out the window. Do you want that illusion? No. Then stop concentrating on it. Do you want this other illusion of wholeness and perfection? Then concentrate on it. Now, I'm not telling you what to do. I'm not telling you how to be godly or ungodly. I'm not telling you to use the principles of divinity and godliness and so forth. Because everything is God and everything is divinity. And if we ever get confused and think some things are not godly and not divinity, then we really have a problem. Then we are excommunicating from our world certain people, certain conditions, and certain activities, and that's not very nice. Today, say to yourself, I live in my ideal spirit, mind, and body, and I am just covered with my beautiful white stem cells floating all over me like a beautiful ice cream sauce, just going in and out of the crannies and making the cake taste good, making me taste good, making everything I do beautiful, returning me to my original purity and integrity. Wow! Be a kid again. You've heard that? Would you like to be a kid again?
Yes.
Oh, what kind of a kid again? You want to be a kid again that's just a pure white stem cell that's just out there having a ball? Enjoying yourself to the ultimate? Well then, claim it. Name it, claim it, and enjoy it. And when you name it, claim it, and enjoy it, then you have it. But there's a little part there that has to be remembered. You are not superior to anybody else in any area of your life. And that's a hard thing to do. I want to go and show them. I want to go and tell them. I want to go and lead them. Oh boy, you start pulling that sort of stuff and you give yourself a really tough tumble because you haven't found it yourself. Because when you find the truth about yourself, when you find who you really are, you don't show anybody, you don't tell anybody, you just live it. And anyone who has the eyes to see it will recognize it. And if they don't have the eyes to see it, telling them will not make any difference to them. So just remember, you are who you are. You can't help it. You're living it. Now, you can put a new cause in motion for yourself and say, I am divine. I like me. Always in divine order. I am peace. And then, poof, you got the whole thing in one wonderful package. Whole and perfect, done for you right now. And nice, isn't it? Think on these things. They're worth thinking about. And just remember, the clerk in the shoe store has no interest in you whatsoever. His job is to go and get the shoes and to put them back. His job is to go get the shoes and put them back. His job is not to fit you. His job is not, you have to fit yourself. You stick your foot in that shoe and you say it fits. He might shove it on your foot. Ow, it's too tight. Oh, it's too loose, you know. But you have to make the fit. And when you've found the fit, nothing to do with the clerk. Nothing to do with the shoe store. It's just what shoe you choose. What divinity you choose. What aspect you choose. Are you a lover? Then be an unconditional lover and a good one. I suggest we all be unconditional lovers and good ones. I love you, I love you, I love you.
Love you,
love you.